Do you have what it takes to be a rounder, a high-stakes professional poker player? Do you know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run? Well, James McManus does. Harper's Magazine gave him an advance to write a story on the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas a few years back. McManus didn't flinch. He took that advance and entered the tournament and competed with the top poker players in the world. McManus wrote about the experience for Harper's and in a book called Positively Fifth Street. He told Steve Paulson about playing poker with the big boys.
The World Series of Poker is a five-week-long series of events in which every form of poker is played. And the buy-ins start at 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, and by the end, the final event, the championship event, is settled with No Limit Texas Hold'em, which is a rougher, wilder version of regular Hold'em. The main characteristic of the game is that you can bet up to any amount of chips that you have in front of you, as opposed to a regular poker game in which the size of the bet is strictly and narrowly circumscribed. In No Limit, you can push in 10,000, 100,000, 500,000 chips at any point in the betting sequence. So it gives you much more leverage.
You're saying at one moment you could bet 500,000 in one hand.
So that in a regular poker game, the person who's dealt blind luck has given them the best hand on this particular hand of poker. They are going to win the pot 95, 97 times out of 100. Whereas in No Limit, you have the means, the leverage to push people with a better hand, but still not a great hand. You can cause them to fold because of the size of your bet, so that poker skill becomes much more important than simply getting lucky and having good cards dealt to you.
The way you write about this when you first entered, some of the other players considered you dead money. I mean, they figured you were an easy mark.
Yeah, that was a very reasonable expectation on their part. I think that it was fair to say that I was dead money. And by that, the professionals mean people who are putting their money into the prize pool but have virtually no chance of winning any of it back. What that fails to recognize, however, is that virtually everyone in a large tournament is dead money, since only out of 512 players, only 45 people make the money. That's a lot less than 10%, so that well over 90% of the people who sit down at the beginning are going to lose their entire buy-in, in effect become dead money. So that I was not a favorite to make the money, but I was not such a ridiculous underdog that it was an outrageous stunt on my part.
How do you play this game, No Limit Texas Hold'em?
It's a variation on seven-card stud. Everyone gets two cards face down, as in seven-card stud. But what happens after that is that there are three cards dealt face up in the middle of the table, which are community cards.
So everyone has those three cards.
Right. So there are two cards that you have alone, and those are combined with the three cards in the middle of the board, and then there's a fourth community card and then a fifth community card. So that the best five-card poker hand in which you combine your two with the five on the table determines the winner. In No Limit, you could push in whatever amount of chips you had in front of you at any point.
How much does it cost to enter the World Series of Poker tournament?
The early tournaments at the beginning of the event, I think the cheapest is $1,500, and then the championship event has a $10,000 buy-in.
Now, you entered the tournament as an amateur, right?
Mm-hmm. The definition of who is a poker professional and who's an amateur is somewhat more porous than it is, for example, in basketball or golf, because everybody who plays poker, even if it's for nickels and dimes, is playing for money. You're trying to win the most money at the end of the night.
But you don't go around playing in lots of tournaments.
No. When I went there in May 2000, it was the first tournament I had ever entered. However, I had been playing fairly serious poker since I was 9 years old. When I went out to Vegas, I was 49, so I had been playing poker for 40 years. However, what I had not been playing was No Limit Texas Hold'em, and that's a very, very different kind of game. So after Harper's gave me the assignment to go cover the World Series, I began studying that specific version of the game on some pretty high-powered computer simulation programs, and also reading four or five of the best primers that tell you what the strategies are that are most likely to win.
So once you got into the championship event, you were facing some really experienced players. Did you think you had a chance to win?
Well, a big part of my motivation was to write a better piece of journalism for Harper's. I didn't think that I had no chance whatsoever because having played poker for 40 years, I knew that if the cards are running your way, you can do a lot of amazing things. However, I would have bet a lot of money against myself winning. However, as the days went on in the tournament and I started accumulating a larger and larger stack, I started imagining that I could, in fact, make the money. And then after I made the money, I imagined that I could win the event.
So once you got into this championship round, how many players were you competing against?
When we started on Monday afternoon, there were 512. About half that dropped away in the first day. By the end of the second night, we were 45. And then in the third day, we went from 45 down to 6.
You kept advancing. I mean, you were winning all of those rounds to make
right.
it to the very
right.
final round.
Right. Late on the third day, I was winning. And when we stopped play on the third day, I was in second place. So I began play on the final day in second place.
How much money were you holding at that time?
I began the fourth day with $550,000 in chips.
Wow.
The most money I had was slightly over $1 million on the third night.
You must have felt kind of giddy with $1 million
yeah.
dollars there.
Yeah. It was, if you're thinking about it in comparison with the size of your paycheck, the size of your mortgage, the size of your monthly grocery bill, it's a grotesque amount of money. And the idea of losing it on one hand would be so terrifying as to leave you paralyzed. You can't really play poker if you're thinking about what this amount of chips could purchase you in real life. You really need to play the value of your hand against what you imagine or what you're convinced that your opponent is holding at the same time. If you were afraid of losing $10,000 or $150,000, you would really be dead money because you wouldn't be able to act right on the cards that you had.
And you couldn't just walk away. I mean, you couldn't cash in your chips at that point. Say,
right.
I'm just going to take
right.
this million and right. Go home and have a nice
right.
life.
That's the other thing that keeps you at the table. The rules of the tournament literally prohibit you from walking away. The rules of a freeze-out tournament are that everybody plays until they lose all their chips. And on the final day, one person is in possession of all the chips.
Who were some of the characters sitting around the table from you?
The most interesting character was the number one ranked tournament player in the world, and his name is TJ Cloutier. He's a huge former tight end in this Canadian Football League. He played back in the 60s. He's a very physically intimidating guy. He's also a great poker player. And he had written the definitive book on how to play this game at the championship level. It's called Championship No Limit and Pot Limit Hold'em. And I had virtually memorized the book in the 3 or 4 months before I went out there.
And here you were sitting across from him. He probably knows you've read his book and you
exactly.
know how you're supposed to play according to him.
I had the advantage of knowing TJ's favorite moves from reading his book. I also knew that he knew that I knew what his strategies were. So that when I took the lead in the tournament late on Wednesday night, it was in a hand against him in which he was trying to bluff me with nothing. I myself had no pair. I had an ace king. He had an ace nine. Since neither of us had a pair, he put me all in. He bet in three chunks all the chips that I had, knowing that I probably didn't want to risk them when I didn't have a pair. However, I had been studying his practice hand that morning in which a player has exactly the hand that I had. And I knew that he was aware that I was likely to follow his advice. So I, in fact, played in the opposite manner that he advised, and I ended up winning a $900,000 pot.
Now, that's amazing. I mean, winning a $900,000 pot without even a pair.
It was one of the most fun things that ever happened to me. And at the time that the hand went down, Amarillo Slim Preston, probably the most famous poker player alive, was standing right behind me. And when he saw me call down TJ's bluff, he said, "I'd bet on that boy. He's got the heart of a cliff diver." That was maybe, you know, I've had four children and other good things have happened in my life, but that was probably the most fun I've that was a high point.
Did you misplay any hands, or did you make any blunders?
I made many blunders in the early stages of the tournament. Everyone starts out with $10,000 in chips. Within 2 hours, I was down to $2,200 in change. And that was through a series of fairly serious, ridiculous mistakes. As the tournament went on, I made fewer and fewer mistakes. And on the hand that I got knocked out on, it was a $1.1 million hand that I played with Hassan Habib. I had an ace-queen. He went all in with ace-four, and I called him with ace-queen. We put all of our money in the pot, and he sucked out on me. There were only three cards in the deck which could make ace-four a winner over ace-queen, and one of them came. So that while I did lose that gigantic pot, I did have the peace of mind of knowing that I put my money in with the better hand, and that, at least in that case, I hadn't made a mistake.
You got unlucky.
I got unlucky, right. The best players in the world don't want to be lucky. They want to not be unlucky.
You were gambling in several senses.
Without question. There's no question that the way I was raised, I've almost always been comfortable putting money down against the possibility of winning more of it back. The possibility of losing the entire wager has never been so great, or seldom so great with me, that I'm not willing to take a chance if I think the odds are realistically in my favor. If you're a 10-to-1 shot against making the money, that seems like an overwhelming odds against you. However, if you do make the money and you do win, you're going to win 150 or 200 times the size of your buy-in, so that those are not bad odds.
You must get kind of philosophical about luck in all of this.
There's a wonderful recent poker novel by Jesse May. It's called Shut Up and Deal. And in that, he says, a lot of people assume that the difficult thing is learning the skill part of poker. You know, when you have this kind of a hand, you raise, and when you have this kind of a hand, you fold, and you never draw to an inside straight, and if you're drawing to a flush, you have nine outs. And whereas what May points out is that that's the easy part. The hard part of poker is the luck. How you deal philosophically with luck running against you is much more difficult than learning poker tactics. Any monkey can learn how to play poker reasonably well. What's very existentially challenging is coping with the horrible luck that is always going to jump up and get you eventually.
You got to know when to hold them. When to hold them. Know when to fold them. Walk away and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold.
James McManus is the author of the book Positively Fifth Street: Murderers, Cheetahs, and Binions, World Series of Poker. He spoke with Steve Paulson. McManus finished fifth in the 2000 World Series of Poker. The winner walked away with a cool $2 million.